So we're going to try.
Yes.
Okay, so let's call the meeting to order.
Boston.
Roll call, Connie Mueller. Go around and say your name.
Steve Strickland, staff liaison.
Tim Schmaltz, council person.
Matt Emden, member at large. Oh,
John Thiemann, council liaison.
Suzanne Schumer, member at large.
Okay. Opening round. Anybody got anything you want to start with? Let's go to approval of minutes. Anybody get a chance to read?
Yeah, everything looked good to me. I didn't know I was late to the meeting on January, but I believe your watch more than mine, so that sounds good.
You were there, but you were...
Oh, doing basketball stuff.
Yeah, yeah.
That's what I assumed.
Okay.
So no, I've read through. Everything looks accurate to me.
Yep. Anyone want a motion to approve?
I'll motion to approve.
Okay. I'll second.
Second? All in favor?
Aye.
Aye.
Okay. Any nays? No. Minutes for January 8th. Okay, let's move on to February 12th minutes. By the way, thank you for doing these. I realized that we should really have a secretary that does these. But we'll get to that later.
Where's the AI data center?
Okay, yeah. Anybody have anything on February 12th minutes?
I did not see anything that was inaccurate.
Did you have something, Suzanne?
I didn't see the minutes, so that's okay. I'll take anyone else's word for them. For some reason, I saw the agenda, but I think that must have been a different thing.
I was not there, so that part looks correct.
Yeah, I wasn't at this meeting either. So.
Did you want to look at a copy real quick?
No, it's okay. I'll take someone else's word for it.
I motion to accept then.
Okay.
Approved, not accepted, whatever.
Any seconds?
I'll second.
Okay. All in favor?
Aye.
Aye. Okay. Minutes are approved for February 12th. And okay. I think I caught up. No special presentation that I know of.
I don't know if this is the right time, but considering that you two weren't here, the special presentation we had last meeting from Arthur Wasserman.
Mm-hmm.
It's not in the old business, so I'll just say a quick thing about it.
Yeah.
Is he was going to go to the flood meeting, as it says in the minutes, but then I sort of deputized him to come back and report to us about that, because he seemed...
Well, it hasn't happened yet.
Yeah, it hasn't happened, but he also... Was he working with a group that was very much like floodplain related? Or, anyways, there was some interesting things that he brought up that potentially might be something that we are concerned about. Participating in a larger project potentially with Stormwater Commission or something else. So just want to emphasize to the couple people that weren't here...
I've heard him speak when they were considering building those apartments over there.
Yeah, so
he has a lot of data, a lot of history on that area.
And he seemed not necessarily interested in joining the commission, but certainly returning and telling us things. So I just want to emphasize that to the people that weren't here. That's
okay.
All, so.
Good. Yeah, he's a good source.
He was going to go to the meeting. What is that meeting?
It's at the end of the month.
It's March 24th from 7 to 9 at the U City Library.
Yeah. It's the high school library.
High school.
The high school library,
yeah.
Right.
Yeah.
High school library.
And it's called Visions Flood Mitigation.
Something like that.
Yeah. Okay. I don't see any citizens here. New business election of officers. Evidently, we were supposed to be elected officers once a year.
So, yeah, which I discovered, and there's a couple other things that that I need to start doing a little sooner, sending the agenda out a week before according to the bylaws, which I've been getting it out later than that, so I'll up my game on that. But I included a copy of the bylaws from 2013 in the packet. And I did some research on this as well. And it doesn't look like this has been the election of officers. It doesn't look like it's been followed very closely over time. For one, there's only been one secretary ever selected, and that was when somebody volunteered to do it, and I think that was only that lasted maybe only for a few months.
Now, you take the role of the secretary, don't you, in keeping the minutes?
Yeah, and that's...
So is there anything else a secretary would be...
It's in the... did you get the bylaws copy?
Yeah, I've got it somewhere.
Did you have it in the agenda packet?
Here, I can...
I'm sure I have
I was going to say, since I've been doing this, it's always been the City Hall liaison. I mean, the three requirements Mary did before you got here. So,
yeah, it's under, well, under officers.
Yeah, the three things are what Mary's did.
Yeah. So I don't know, and looking through, just as I was trying to figure out how this had been implemented in the past, there was discussion about changing that secretary position to something different, but it was just a discussion, and then it didn't go anywhere. I assume that it's just something that staff has always done. And then it's just been kind of intermittent over time that there's been any sort of election of the chair position as well. So, it's in there, but it's up to the commission on how to handle it. There's no...
Well, it says the procedure is that the commission shall elect one chair and one secretary.
Yeah. I mean, as far as like...
it's young.
What time of year?
Or
whatever.
But it sounds like we should have a secretary.
According to the bylaws, it seems like there should be. All these are subject to if the commission chooses to keep them as is, but there's no limit on the chair serving, amount of times or anything like that. There's nothing listed as far as like when it needs to be appointed. That's all up to you guys. I just noticed that it was there, and that that's why I wanted to bring it to you, that it's like, oh, I guess this technically should have been occurring, so.
You have a couple commissions you go to. Do they have secretaries also?
They do.
And does does the City Hall liaison person do the same thing that, like,
no.
Okay.
No. Theoretically speaking, the way I've seen it, let's put it down, is that your job is there to advise people on, shall we say, the technicalities when it comes to civil service. And my job is to advise on the technicalities when it comes to legislation. But most of the other commissions I've been on, very little input from the civil servant or the council liaison. certainly not as far as, you know, running the meeting or doing any portion of that. Mm-hmm. Furthermore, if you, it doesn't say here that you have adopted Robert's rules, but were you technically to adopt Robert's rules, and they're very specific about the officers you need, I think you'll need a chairman, a vice chair, a secretary, you won't need a treasurer. I think that's it. I can't think of anything else. Sometimes there is, even if it's large enough, things like a sergeant at arms, but this isn't anything you're going to need. But that does, that there will be.
Sergeant.
Yeah. That'd be you, man. You're the young guy.
Yes.
Okay. You got one in your basement.
I got a helmet.
Oh, there you go.
All right, there we go. There we go.
I just have to give you an axe. So.
Yes.
Yeah, there.
But, you know, we might also, you know, I'm not sure which of the commissions has the most thorough set of bylaws that you could copy. I bet planning does. They're that kind of people.
Well, we already have bylaws. I don't want to rewrite the bylaws.
I don't want to.
I just wonder how we should interpret these.
I nominate Nicole.
I was going to do that.
I mean, she's the one who has the Google Drive access that she set up to, you know, she's already doing it.
Well, we might want to ask her about it.
Yeah.
If we can get away without having one. She can delegate. If you are willing to have Nicole delegate the taking of minutes duties to you, that would make more sense, actually.
There are some ways in which, it, without regular, you know, established officers and so on, you could, down the road, run into some trouble.
Right.
I think we should have a secretary.
Regularized. Make a motion to elect a secretary next meeting.
Okay.
Or whenever we get...
Unless Jan wants...
75%.
Unless he wants to volunteer.
We're missing
Ken. There's
Nicole,
a motion,
right?
On the floor. So can we have one person talk at a time, please?
So we're 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7 members currently. So... I'd say let's make a motion to vote for a secretary next meeting or whatever meeting we have 6 out of 7 people present, whatever's first.
I second that motion. That's a good way to put it. Push it off down the road.
Okay, all in favor?
Aye.
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 And then we can talk her into it. Or
maybe
talk it around, see who might be interested.
Propose this vote until Nicole is... Remind her that it's
right.
Good
the,
on her resume.
Yeah.
And the duties will be these three that are outlined here.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Which is quite a lot, actually. Because taking minutes, I think, is extremely hard.
But, Steve, are you willing to continue to do that if she doesn't want to do it? Are you okay with taking minutes?
Well, we can elect somebody else if she's not.
I think what John says is true, is that if it turns out we're not following the rules. Even if he still wants to take the notes, I think somebody here has to, according to the bylaws. We've been breaking the rules.
Yeah, it doesn't have to be Nicole.
For a long time.
It could be you.
No, it's not going to be me.
Well.
I've done it.
We can nominate an AI chatbot to do it. I don't know. We'll figure it out.
It's not ChatGPT.
Okay, so next meeting.
Yeah.
Voting. Okay. To the minutes. Where am I? So old business, solar ordinance, soul smart. I can't remember what's going on with these things.
So solar ordinance, I think the only thing that we had to do on that was I wanted you guys to look at the language of how they selected different buildings that are taken from the IRCC or one of the appendices that I put in a Word document in the Google Drive, and I thought it was emailed out too.
Yeah.
I think the only thing that we're waiting on that is basically us agreeing to use that pre-existing stuff. So last meeting, the sort of conversation is the terminology for those buildings as inclusive as we wanted it to be. and I remember my stance on it was I would rather miss out on a few potential sites or whatever so that we can just say we've incorporated the way the official international codes designate spaces, because I think that makes potential arguments and disagreements easier if we can just say it's not me, it's them. But that is, I think, the only thing we're waiting on to then send it to the city lawyers to legalize it up.
Mm-hmm. Which one did you want us to look at?
There, not the Soul Smart, but I thought there was a Word document that...
Oh, that one here?
No, maybe that's like a summary of that. Maybe it's just... I'll have to find it again. I thought it got sent out. If not, I'll send it out again, but it doesn't sound like we're ready to vote.
Oh, there's a solar panel with CBA.
Yeah.
What's that one? Solar panel motion? No, that doesn't sound sure like something I would. That looks like something I would make. But I don't think I would use that title.
I'll send it out again, because it doesn't sound like we're ready to vote on accepting that language or not, unless we just want to vote on accepting that language.
I think it's fine. But, you know, I have limited experience, so I would go with your judgment on it.
I will say that it, you know, because it's existing code, the language is very much like, you know, if it meets or exceeds such and such square foot of usable flat space and, you know, has a pitch of this and that and the other thing. I don't see anything issue with it. There was one sort of the main cause of concern was it doesn't include anything that's over six stories. And I know that that there was, I think both of you mentioned last meeting of, yeah, we don't have a lot of six-story plus size buildings in U City now, but we could down the line.
It has been proposed, too, just not followed through. The what's now called...
Subtext.
And they call it something else now. You know what I'm talking about, right? Yeah. Straight across from the post office was originally proposed to be seven stories.
Oh,
they brought it down to five stories, but that was them. You know, it was an architectural decision, but it was going to be seven stories.
Right. So there is, I mean, that's a potential gap or hole in,
well, that could be amended,
in the thing. It could be amended, but also...
how
many six-plus story buildings are going to go up in U City in the next 100 years? I mean, certainly more than one, but less than 1,000, I would guess.
Yeah.
So, you know, me personally feel like it's a non-enough issue. Especially in light of the potential Missouri House ordinance that comes through, might make the whole effort null and void, although I think that we can get around it. That's a different thing for later.
I would like to get it in place as soon as we can.
So I guess then do we just want to adopt the official IRCC codes for there, because this is actually to make solar ready, which we're not even doing that far. We're just using their words for solar ready ordinances for making them do a solar audit.
Yeah, I'd say, because we put it off a couple times already, I'd say we're ready to go.
I'm fine with that.
Okay, well then, am I going to make another motion?
Make a motion.
Then I will make a motion to adopt the building design language from, I think it's the appendices that I sent out. I don't remember the names of them, but it's the international code appendices for building design. It's not a very good motion, but I don't remember the names of the things off the top of my head.
Look it up. See what I have.
it's the CA appendix, but what's the home? The ICC digital codes, that's what it is.
Okay.
So I make a motion to adopt the building design specifications from the ICC digital codes appendix CA for commercial and then appendix RA for residential.
I will second that very happily.
Okay. All in favor?
Aye.
Aye.
It is passed. Very good.
Then I will take the words and make them happen, I guess.
And now it goes to council?
Why, we would...
Where does it go?
We would need to give it to the city hall lawyer, I would guess. But maybe
lawyer?
Through council. Who hands stuff to the lawyer? The council or the mayor? The manager?
I would say give it to me as
right,
the liaison.
Right.
Okay.
I'll pass it to the director.
All right.
To the lawyer.
They'll get in the channel somewhere.
There'll probably be some back and forthing required.
Yeah. Good.
Okay, I'll take care of that.
Good, good, good. It's great. So, and then Soul Smart is something.
That's also on me. But you guys had homework for that too, which was going through and just seeing if there were things that we could do to pursue different levels of Soul Smart. And in the Google Drive, but I think it also went out via email. Was I went through and just like copy and pasted some of the manual, which is also linked in the thing I sent out.
Would that have come from you?
Does everything have to go through Stephen, technically?
I thought it did.
We should be looking for it from Stephen? Not from you, right?
I don't remember. Yeah, I mean, if you type in like just Soul Smart, like look for the name of an email.
Uh-huh.
It's called Soul Smart.
That should be
there can't be very many of them, I would guess. I don't know what you're doing, Mr. Sergeant in Arms.
Smart goals, smart cities.
Smart goals. So the Soul Smart, I think the overall aspect of it, in my mind, was there's four different levels, I believe, like bronze, silver, gold, and platinum. And there's different things that will check off to qualify different levels. Some of those the city may have already done. And I wanted you guys to see sort of at least an example of what it requires to do bronze and see whether this is something we want to pursue. I think that was where we were at.
Mm-hmm.
So the Word document I sent out, which I'll send it out again, it's just electrons, right?
I've got an email from you, Soul Smart, with links to the Google Doc.
Maybe that's what it is. Well, because you emailed me specifically about this.
Yeah.
I'll send it out. I mean, it's like a 2 or 3 page Word document.
Yeah, I found it.
That I went through and just like copy and pasted and tried to.
What was the date that you got it on?
This is something I specifically sent to her.
Okay.
Because I think she knew she was going to.
I got it January 30th.
I'll send it out again. It's. I don't think that there's any cutoff dates for participating in Soul Smart. But before we ask the city to do anything, I think we need to decide whether it's something that we want to do. And what's up?
Is there any reason you wouldn't want to do it?
The only reason I wouldn't want to do it is just to make people at City Hall feel like we're telling them to do more. You know, like that's the only reason. And I'm respectful of, you know, government employees' time and energy and effort. because they're probably underpaid and underappreciated. So just telling them to do more is not something that I would do willy-nilly, you know what I mean?
So you would want it to feel like it's an achievable
thing before we say, let's just hire this guy type of move. Because if there were, you know, if there was 25 things to get the bronze or whatever, and we need to select five of them, I would rather go to City Hall or, you know, have somebody go to City Hall and say, well, we already have these three done. Because one of them is like, have the city be committed to, you know, solar power. You know, like just write a letter or something.
Yeah.
It's like, that's an easy check. I think that that would be more efficient of saying, here's five things that would check things off. We've already done three, and we're halfway done with number four. Mm-hmm. So then people that would be doing the actual work would have an easier time of it, and outcomes would be better.
Okay.
So that's my thought process, at least. So I'll send it out again to everybody, or send it out for the first time to everybody, and we'll just so that we're all aware, and maybe pick.
So I've got what you sent out before, Soul Smart certification process notes.
Mm-hmm.
But I don't really know what all these, you know, how much work all these things are going to be. Complete the solar statement, complete solar permitting checklist, complete zoning review.
So the manual that's linked through that doc is very accessible and describes a lot of that. I just wanted to copy and paste real quick stuff.
Uh-huh.
All of the different, you know, of the 25 things you can do, each of them has a description there. And the Soul Smart organization can, like, assign you a project manager or some type of person to assist you in doing this. So I don't know if we need to be experts in each of these things at the moment. I think we need to...
Yeah, I guess what I'm saying is I don't know how to judge if that's a worthwhile thing to do or not. I don't even know what this involves.
Well, the description in, like, the big linked PDF, I think it is.
The design criteria?
No, I'm not looking at it myself, but I know that I did link to it.
I got a link to a website.
Yeah, no, that's the standard pathway guide. I think I might have downloaded it as a PDF, but you don't have to. The Soul Smart Program Guide does. That's what I use to make that Word document, and it describes sort of like every step you can do.
That's on the Google Drive.
Yeah. So I'll send the PDF, since I have it downloaded as a PDF, I'll just send that in the email too.
Okay.
I don't, just from glancing through it, like I said, some of it is like, put a statement on the city's website that says that you're committed to solar, you know, panels. Like that would take 20 seconds.
So we could lose all our federal funding.
Well, already be there. I think some of these things sounded like it's already been done.
Is there anybody that can confirm or deny that these things are done? That, you know, is it?
I think for the certification, like somebody would come in. There's also on the website you can search who has certification and what they've done. And Clayton has something, and so does Brentwood. And so I kind of feel like if this is something, like let's say next meeting we decide, we want to do this, we can maybe contact somebody from one of those municipalities just to come in to be like, you know, how much of a headache was it? You know, tell us about it. And maybe they could at least zoom in or something.
Is there anybody, like, specifically with our city that we can, as like a kind of bridge A to B, to say, hey, here are these 25 things, but I feel similarly to you. I might read the list. Yeah, these are cool, but I don't know how to gauge how close we are before we then go and say,
I feel like, for me, that's like step two. Like, I think initially, like if you were to look at the 25 things and you're just like, all of these sound terrible, I don't want to do any of this. And then like, so the next meeting you would say, oh, I don't want to do any of this, you know, and then flip a table and storm out. But like, I think then if we decide this is something we want to pursue, then like step two would be, let's present to City Hall what we think a pathway would be. Because there are different parts of the Soul Smart. There's like the planning and zoning part, but there's also, you know, like, so that's almost, it would involve multiple departments at City Hall. So I don't think that there'd be one person to be like, we need you to do this. It's like, we need you to do this, we need you to do that, we need you to do this. But I think first we need to decide if we want to pursue it at all, that's all. So I do know, when you can read, and I downloaded this too, but the Clayton's one was almost entirely like on the paperwork bureaucratic side, where they just said they wanted to streamline the bureaucratic hurdles to getting solar panels installed. That's all. They didn't actually put any panels up. They just wanted to make it easier for residents. And I think they got silver. I don't know what it is. I think they're silver status.
So then what does that do? I forget what that does for them if they have a silver status.
They get to feel good about themselves.
So well, if that's all we're doing it for.
So here's a list of what they did. They posted a solar landing page on the government's website. They did a feasibility analysis for photovoltaic on government buildings. They installed solar voltaic on government facilities and controlled land. Provided a PACE financial. What's PACE?
It's property assessed clean energy financing.
So they did a financing program. Provided online checklist, trained permitting and inspection staff, trained planning zoning staff, codified in the zoning ordinance, and then reviewed zoning requirements. Like, that's all they did. And some of that seems like...
So it did say they installed some solar.
Yeah. I don't know where, because I certainly haven't seen any in Clayton.
It's on a rooftop. How tall are you?
I can fly. I got a drone. I got a drone with a camera flying around Clayton 24/7.
We don't have any solar on any of our public buildings.
No. And we value engineered all the energy efficiency out of our city buildings, too. Yet we say we want to be leaders in energy efficiency.
Well, yeah, we should get a little plaque that says we're solar.
We should get
STAR
certified.
Yeah. Anyways, so I'll send it out. You guys take a look, and we'll decide next meeting if this is something we want to pursue.
Okay.
That's my suggestion, not my motion.
Okie dokie. Next thing is native plantings.
That was Nicole's thing, I think.
What were the issues there? I know you were she was talking about certifying native plantings.
Yeah.
So I looked up all the organizations I'm familiar with that already do that. And they don't, I guess by certifying native plantings, that she wanted to make a master list of plants? And
yeah, I think she wants two things. One is to not get cited by the city anymore.
Mm-hmm.
And two is to sort of encourage people to transform their lawns mm-hmm. into like native spaces. And I think her quote-unquote homework was to see if there was any like existing sort of natural front lawn
there
certification thing.
There's tons and tons.
And so see which one best fits our needs or our desires.
That's not something we would do as a city. They have lots and lots of programs available for individual homeowners. Well, actually, it could be for cities or organizations as well. So there's Audubon has Bring Conservation Home, different levels of certification. That's the one I got for my yard. And you can get this sign, and they come out and inspect, and they do all these calculations on it. It can be, I think it's gold, silver, or platinum levels. They have, you know, tours of different home gardens, which is really helpful in getting your garden started, because then you can go talk to somebody. And also Wild Ones is another group that has a local chapter. In fact, the local chapter of Wild Ones is the biggest one in the country. Now,
really?
Which is
I've
really
never even heard of them.
Wild Ones, yeah. Missouri's, St. Louis in particular, is very impressive with native plantings. In fact, Doug Tallamy was very impressed. If you know anything about native plants, you know who Doug Tallamy is.
Mm-hmm.
And then there's also Homegrown National Park, which Doug Tallamy started. He's like the native plant guru in this country. Mm-hmm. And you can go online and add your property to the map, and you can, so people can see how many native plants. Mm-hmm. And then UCity and Bloom does a lot with promoting. I mean, we have a giant table every year at the sale. National Wildlife Federation also has a certifying organism. Actually, it's more of an online quiz, but you can buy a sign that you've passed their thing. So I don't know if that's going to fill all the things she,
I think she
was concerned about. I can call her and talk.
I think
her,
she wants like a some sort of signage and to one thing to make the inspector's paperwork less from having to deal with that. But also, as a, if someone's driving down your street and sees a sign that's like a billboard for like, oh, I want to do that
too.
There
are signs.
And I think it really just came down to, rather than inventing our own, you know, wheel, any of those things you said, as long as you can get some sort of signage, which I think was the sort of key concern of hers, program support and like information, that's helpful too. But I think, I don't think she wanted the city to actually do anything other than...
Yeah, I couldn't tell.
I don't think she wanted to get UCity Native Garden, like, sign officially designated in her yard.
Yeah, okay.
I think she just wanted... You know, if Audubon does it or Wild Ones, she could put a sign in the yard saying Wild Ones Certified Pollination Native Front Yard or something.
A lot of yards.
And then just make it easier for the property maintenance
staff
to know that that's... you know, native plantings. It's not just overgrown.
And I feel also that would avoid needing to train the inspectors to be able to recognize a overgrown front yard versus a native yard. If they just always see the sign, move on.
Who was it that was telling us they have a lot of turnover? So training somebody would...
Yeah, let's get away from the training.
So you can just let our yards go get a sign and just check it in and we're good to go.
You can make your own.
Yeah.
Stick your halberd in the yard if people leave you alone, right?
This could be abused by any given homeowner, but I think...
No, Audubon is not going to put a sign in somebody's yard.
It could be abused in the sense that they could put up a sign that would fool the inspectors easily.
I think
it would take more effort to do that, and I think these are people who don't want to take any effort anyway.
Yeah.
I was going to say, isn't it just easier to, mow your yard?
It's not a worthwhile scam. Yeah.
That's why I'm thinking it's not a big problem.
I mean, the other thing is if there are overgrown properties, maybe knock on their door saying, do you want your yard converted to native planting?
Yeah, exactly.
And put them on the list and be like, if you don't want to mow,
here's what we can do.
We'll kill your grass and then sprinkle seeds all over it or whatever. I don't think
it's quite that easy to keep native plants going, but...
That's what I do with my rain garden.
There's some things, if somebody wants to look into that, there's ways to make your yard pretty maintenance-free.
I mean, in the spring, I kind of go back.
I think...
there's
nothing that we can decide on that today. I just, to keep the reminders, I think that's what Nicole was going after.
Okay. Maybe I'll give her a call and see where she's at.
There is a second part to that, I think, before we do the roars. And that was because I don't think that's on the thing, of finding places in the parks, like the city parks, where it could be converted to native planting to reduce mowing.
I didn't understand that, because there's native plant gardens all over UCity and all in every single park.
That's not it. I didn't make it to the Parks Commission meeting last month, but I did talk to the chairperson and one person that's on it, and wondering if they still do their drive-bys of the parks to check, how many people are using this. Because the idea was to find spaces that are not being used, can get rid of the turf grass and put in native planting or just some sort of lower maintenance thing to reduce the amount of work and resources used to maintain turf grass that isn't used for anything other than existing.
And
I'm
going to... Oh, that's a different thing,
yeah. Yeah, it's not... So it's sort of like a double aspect of, yes, increasing native or pollination plants, but also reducing the workload of the city and or contractors for spaces that aren't being used, you know.
So
for
the question
park
is, are there spaces not yeah. being used so, in the parks?
So I'm going to talk to the Parks Commission next meeting, assuming my daughter doesn't have a strings concert that I didn't write down on my calendar, about them coming back with information of where in the parks would be feasible to remove turf grass and put in something different. If they're already driving by the parks, they may be able to just tell us just, you know, from the commissioners, but I would like to actually have some more data just to protect ourselves, saying, you know, 6 months worth of data, nobody was using this corner of the park, you know, whenever they did drive-bys. So let's, you know, move to reduce that square footage of turf grass. I'd rather have some data on that, and I don't think the Parks Commission is collecting that. I think they're just saying, people playing basketball, people on the playground, people, you know, like on the baseball field, and then they drive off. I don't actually know what data they collect, but it's also probably not.
Do we have a parks person yet?
Do we what?
Like
a parks...
A director.
I
heard that there was one that they hired but hasn't been brought on board yet. I don't know their name. My mom told me because she was...
Parks person?
No one's been brought around and introduced. That's usually how I find out about people.
My mom was talking to Kenny, who's the groundskeeper at Ruth, and he said that they hired somebody. But my mom may have said other things, and I started to glaze over.
It may come as a surprise if a council doesn't hire people. We hire
the
city manager.
Sometimes you know a few things.
But we know a few things.
Yeah, just a few, though. I don't think Kenny has met this person either. So I think that there's somebody that's closer to being hired than being hired.
Yeah, I guess I was just thinking this is like a big, kind of a big project for us. They would have to, like, allocate certain areas, and somebody would have to plant it, and somebody would have to get the plants, and someone would have to do the work.
Right.
I don't know. I was thinking we should contact the guy in charge first, maybe, but if there isn't anybody yet.
Well, I mean, I also feel if we were to contact the person in charge and say, like, I'm just going to use this space next to Balsam here, right? If we were to say, you know, in 6 months worth of driving by there, we never saw anybody using that space. So, you know, X number of square footage of that space, remove the turf. Like, we actually present them a relatively detailed proposal, and double that up with, you know, maybe there's grants or something out there, or people that have extra seeds. Like, you know, I think that the first step is to see, well, maybe every inch of all the parks are being used by somebody.
Yeah, I think they're going to be reluctant to allocate, especially since all the parks have native plantings and gardens already.
Well, I feel like if there's useless spaces that they're paying a contractor to mow, and they could pay the contractor less to mow it because there's less to mow.
Well, right. That makes sense to me and you. But I don't think they're going to give up parks, an inch of parks for...
Well, I mean, if we can save them $1,000 a year on mowing contractor work.
And make the parks more attractive and beautiful for people to say, hey, that looks like a nice place to go enjoy, as opposed to there's a big grassy field that's not very appealing.
Yeah.
On the other hand, I don't think most people see the rain gardens as attractive.
And there's also...
depends how it's done.
Jesse and all the other people that put gardens in UC.
Yeah.
We might want to contact them too, because they design these gardens for all these public spaces. They're just getting more information would be good.
Yeah, I think, as I said with the Soul Smart thing, is I actually don't want anybody to do more work. Mm-hmm.
This would be a lot of work.
Well, I mean.
Once it's ideally, in, it's not so much work.
Ideally, yeah. I mean, we can figure that part out. But, like, I'm the type of set it and forget it gardener, where I look for things to put into the ground that I don't have to mess with again. And that is my ideal, is if there's native okay. plants that can be put in.
So, yeah, so you're going to talk to parks? And
yeah, I will.
Their
next meeting, I think they do the third Tuesday of every month. So I think next Tuesday or the Tuesday after, I think, is their next one.
Okay. So we have 14 minutes left, so let's talk about the Roars article.
All right. I wrote one. Nicole was going to write one about native planting stuff. I don't know if she did anything. As I wrote something, it basically just turned into, I'll use, for lack of a better term, an advertisement for the Google Sunroof website. The
Google Sunroof?
So Google Sunroof is, you type in your address and it gives you a heat map of, like, solar exposure and does some really quick bare bones calculations of, you've got this many square foot for panels and you would generate this much and you would save this much after 20 years. I wrote this as a starting point for people that may be interested to solar, to see if it's something that they want to pursue further. Because it would come out in the summer, I thought something along the lines, I mean, I sort of prefaced it, the tone of it is, you know, are you got really high, you know, electricity bills because of cooling your home? Well, flip the script on the sun and let the sun cool your home. And, you know, and it's, that, I guess you could say, it's pro-solar, but it's also pro-real. Like, if your house is covered in shade, you'll see, I mean, you want to flip that around so
I get $100 of savings over 20 years.
So that you probably wouldn't want to do it. So
we have,
you just type
trees.
In your address, and it's not perfect because it's just Google.
It shows a tree that I had cut down, though, too. Right?
Yeah.
A couple of years ago.
What's it called again?
$6,000.
Project Sunroof.
How much?
$6,000 over
wow.
20 years.
One word.
I think so. If you, I'm sure, you just typed
sunroof.
In Project
yeah, just
Sunroof.
Type it in
sunroof
Google and
dot with google.com.
Right,
yeah. So I wrote an article, and I didn't use my address, but I sort of was just like, so if I was interested in solar panels, and I actually broke down, like, this is what it says the payback would be, although I don't think I used the term payback.
Okay, so we don't have a lot of time here, so are you ready to publish?
I will go over and proofread it again. John volunteered his writing skills to maybe do that. So
oh, good.
Send it to you, and then maybe, do we need to vote on a Roars article? I don't.
No.
We haven't in the past.
No,
so.
I just want. I just
all right. Well, I'll go ahead and we'll
okay,
edit
so
it.
Okay, so you're the next one, next Roars.
Yeah,
article?
I'll do it just because the native Nicole's not here to speak up on native
okay.
plants.
Yeah.
And the due date is April 6th or 3rd or something.
If you could get it to me by the 1st, and then I'll send
yeah.
it.
Okay.
Yeah,
I'll send it to you, and then you and I can go back and forth with editing.
Yeah, and I'll, as my wife puts it, she requests occasionally that I take her to comma school, and the old English teacher.
Okay.
And how many words? And let me know how many words you need.
It's 400 words right now, or 402 or something.
Yeah, okay. And that's what they need?
I thought you said, or someone said 300 to 400 words.
300 to 400,
so
okay.
I mean, I can edit it down a little
the
bit.
The article that I wrote, you know, they basically, like, there is a snippet and then
there's
link
a space,
to the full
yeah.
article.
Okay. Then I'll.
So, I'll. I mean, obviously, you don't want it so long, people are going to be like, I don't want to read
yeah.
that.
I'll take another
anyway,
look
let
at
me
it.
Know.
I'll take another look at it, and I'll send it to you real soon.
That'd be great.
Okay.
Yeah, I didn't know this existed. That's all you need to say. Check out.
Well, that's kind of what it turned into as I was writing.
Okay.
That wasn't my intention to advertise Google products.
Okay, so and then potentially the one after that could be Nicole's native plants.
Yeah.
One, and then I guess it's time for our council report.
Thank you, Madam Chairman Person. I was looking at some other councils, and I was struck by how formal U City is. So, thank you, Madam Chairperson. By the way, what I'm going to do now is just new, so
okay.
You know,
yeah.
But
yeah, I've got a few more.
One thing that happened to me recently is I went to Cool City's latest meeting, which was all about native plants.
Oh, I didn't.
And, yeah, and a lot of it would be stuff that people that are environmentalists would know. But there was about, I'd say about 100 legislators from around the area, which is kind of interesting, and some interesting people there, as well as department heads. One of the takeaways that I had as a, you know, on the legislative department, if you will, of the cities is a question I'm asking, and I may want to ask you all about whether or not we would want a basically a non-binding resolution which would say that, you know, effectively speaking, this is a good idea and the city should adopt these ideas. Now, there's already, I've brought this up before with the city, and whether it would be redundant or not is another question. That's really more the question I would have, but I'm going to work on this. And I'll just pass it around, see, because I want your advice, because you are the people who are knowledgeable. The other thing, big thing that happened recently was the, and I feel like a newscaster now, was the State of the City address. And do you want me to give you the high spots, or am I being redundant with something you all watched or attended?
I already read it myself.
I did not watch it, but I was going to look it up and see if I could.
It's posted. I didn't watch it either.
Is this something you would want, just the bullet points?
Bullet points would be nice.
Okay. Bullet points. The Deerbergs will be finished by the end of this year and open for business, as will the Loop Hotel, the True Hotel. The Annex and Trinity buildings are, drum roll please, coming in on time and at budget. First time in, I think, human history that I know that a city project has come in at budget and on time.
You just jinxed it.
And without added tax burden.
Here we, and without added tax burden, doesn't cost you guys a dime.
Yeah.
Some people have asked me about what is going in where the Royal Bank is. That's the Corner 17 extension from the restaurant down here in the Loop, is extending their reach over to. Olive, where the old Royal Bank used to be.
Very
yeah.
Nice.
On Olive? The one that flooded out there?
Yeah.
I guess
part of it was in the floodplain, but not all of it. How did
that work? Well, I wasn't going to go into details, but they are elevating it in such a way that it will not be flooded.
The properties next to it will get flooded now.
Yeah, you're talking to somebody here whose architectural understanding stops at medieval cathedrals. The historian. But I do know they have parts that are elevated, and so it's not actually, because that was a big concern.
Mm-hmm. Isn't that why Royal moved? Well, they also had too much space there.
I couldn't answer.
So what did you say was going there?
The Corner 17 down in the Loop is having an extension over there.
Really fine Chinese restaurant.
Mm-hmm. Oh, no, we're well familiar with this.
Yeah, and they're also having, that's where they will have a kind of, I don't know, I don't have the vocabulary to say this, a kind of thing for making their products as well.
Well, they do at Corner 17. They have an open kitchen where they are stretching their noodles.
And they sort of want to extend that to a larger facility.
Yes. Oh, because they're slammed. You can't get in there. If you don't plan ahead, you can't get in there. You're waiting forever.
Mm-hmm. So, to continue, the Parkview apartments are coming in. That is an extension down at the Parkview, down here, and for senior living at affordable rates.
Wait, where's the Parkview apartments? Are you talking about...
Is that near me, Ranchito and Metcalf?
Yeah, right down... Right down here,
across from Crescent Plumbing, at Kingsland.
Are there? I didn't realize they were building apartments.
Yeah, they're renovating those apartments right there. Gee, I don't know what street that's on.
Oh.
It's right there by the old All Saints Church.
And they're renovating that to make
affordable senior housing. It's like you could walk across the street from Blueberry Hill. It's right there.
Yeah.
It's close to Del Mar, and it's on Westgate.
Catty corner, more or less, from Blueberry Hill, basically.
Yes.
Del Pietro's is going to be opening up, which is really important to my Italian American wife.
Yes.
This is that part of the Venn diagram where marriage and politics completely overlap.
Mm-hmm.
So I'm happy to keep her happy. The third ward revitalization program is carrying on. That's a whole other topic. If you are interested in it, I'll be glad to sit down with you, but could take up the rest of the evening. The number one concern in the recent survey came in at safety. That was the absolute number one thing, and I'm happy to report that crime actually overall in University City is down 57%.
That's a lot.
That's a hell of a lot. Now, there
are... Why is everybody so concerned about safety? I didn't realize anyone was concerned. I'm just surprised.
Well, I would dovetail this with adding that two-thirds of our budget go into police and fire. And, you know, when you're wondering why we are short money here and there, that's part of it. I'm not saying it's a bad thing. Don't get me wrong.
Right.
You know, but so we the ongoing needs. We continue to need to pave streets. Although I would also say, I don't know where I have the note here, that business up here on Pershing is going through and should be completed very soon.
A lot of work on Pershing.
Yeah, I mean, well, it's taken the coordination of the city, the county, and Clayton to get one street paved. And this is where you ask how many politicians does it take to change a light bulb.
What are we talking about on Pershing?
They're resurfacing and redoing the sidewalks on Pershing, like from Flynn Park School down to Hanley.
Are they doing it?
I know what you mean.
The part where you enter is county. Then you go a long way toward U-City, and then at the end of it, meaning the west end, is Clayton. So it takes three governments, basically, to...
What a nightmare.
Are they doing any of the water or sewer work as they're doing that, or not? Are they just waiting until they get paid to do sewer work?
I don't know, honestly.
There are some big diggers over there, because I'm going to drop the kids off at school. I haven't seen any big, like, pipes for... that kind of thing. So I would say no, but I'm not positive about it.
Well, they usually wait until you get repaid, where you have a new payment before they start digging.
Oh, yes.
That's the right way to do it.
Oh, note to self, new park guy, Reginald Burton.
It's a new park guy, like
new
the
park
parks,
guy. Yeah.
Reginald
park
Burton.
Person. And the new planning person is Craig Chandler.
So the decisions on those two have been made. But
note
not,
to self.
Okay, but they are not in the office yet, but they have been hired. Okay. Wonderful.
Yeah.
Thank you.
So the new planning person, is that something you knew about?
Yes.
Maybe it's not for public consumption yet.
I was aware that a new planning director was en route.
Okay.
Okay, well, here you've got the name. You could be the first on your blog.
And I always take absolute comfort from one time in a meeting when I said this to my how in the hell did her husband Paul remember all this stuff? And she comforted me by saying, "Oh, he forgot stuff all the time." You know, so I take a tremendous comfort in that. So we have ongoing flood buyouts that are being overseen by Becky Allen. We have. A real problem with federal money coming in. You know, we're going to do our EV chargers down in the loop. We're going to put in, 32 of them, if I recall correctly? Some number, anyway. And that money is, you know, here
and
we go.
And Parkview Gardens has its own chargers.
There are some around.
Parkview Gardens can use for free.
But there were some that were going to be put in at the public parking facility that's straight across there from the TIV. And I for some reason the number 32 keeps floating around in my head.
Like
I could be.
It
does seem like a lot. But there's a number anyway they're going to be put in there.
42.
It sort of doesn't matter because the money's disappeared from the federal budget.
Yeah.
We've got schools to bomb in Iran.
So. Yeah, that's right. That's right. I'll try to make this as quickly as I can. A number of things have come out. The median age of a resident of University City is 36.
That's younger than I had thought.
I wonder if there. I think that too because I would have thought older. I wonder if they figured in students.
I don't know.
I don't. You know, because that would bring the number way down. But anyway, there's 36,000 people, which are 17,000 households. The average income, the median income. let's see, the median, the mode, the average, whatever, is 76K.
That's the mean.
It would be the mean, okay, 76,000. I was really surprised about that. But yeah.
And has the population pretty much stabilized in terms of all over numbers? Do you know where they were before?
Yes and no. I mean,
we've had a high
it has been at about 35 to 36. It was the highest number we had was in the 1960s at around 70,000.
It was that much?
Oh, yeah. Okay. That's why Olive Boulevard had to be four lanes, you know. Okay. So that was around, if I'm not mistaken, don't quote me on these numbers, but I know I'm close. The average household, the average house in U City costs about $300,000. We're in building. There's about 1,000 new apartment buildings coming in. Apartment units. 1 point of debate is what to do with the thing that has the most prosaic name in the world, parking lot number 4. This would be the parking lot immediately behind, let's say Cicero's, immediately behind Paul's Books.
Yeah, right.
You know what I'm talking about? Right?
Yeah, yeah. On Loop North.
And what to do with that? And there's a lot of debate about putting a new building in there, although keeping the parking lot so that the building would be up. That's just FYI.
Why don't they put something in Cicero's? Why don't they put something in Cicero's?
They will.
They will, yeah. I mean,
I don't know where this is.
The corner of Kingsland, like that. Kingsland and Delmar. It's like across from the library. There used to be like a pizza restaurant on that facing Delmar corner.
It's been empty like 10 years.
Well, they were using it for staging of doors for gutting that apartment building.
They were, and the I'll try to finish up as fast as I can, because I know this has taken up a lot more time than I really wanted to. We are buying that detention basin, and this is federal money, partly, that's hanging us up in Overland. So there'll actually be in the future a tiny little bit of what's now Overland that is used in it.
So we're expanding our footprint.
We're expanding our footprint, but that detention basin is still a happening thing. In charming news, there will be a little avenue. I don't know if you know the story. There's a little avenue up in the Olive thing that originally just had a little line across it and said that something that this is a lane for cars. And somebody thought, well, we should name it after Paulette Carr. It's one of the most charming little stories I've heard. There's going to be a Paulette Carr Lane up there. Driving range will open soon, I've heard. The Seafood City is still an ongoing freaking nightmare.
Super fun. That's what it is.
Yeah.
No, it's not really. Don't put that in the minutes.
One of the things, this is deep politics, and I don't want to bore you with all this. I'm taking too much time as it is. One ongoing consideration is our pension fund. We have two pension funds in the city, one for uniformed people and another for non-uniformed people. The the non-uniformed pension is actually funded at 77%, and that's considered bad because you usually want to fund it at 80% and above. And the others at 80%, so that's fine. In fact, for uniformed people, we offer one of the nicest pensions, period. So there's work being done to boost the non-uniform pensions up. One of the thoughts, and I'll conclude on two quick notes. One of the thoughts people have had, and I've certainly had this all along, is our biggest problems are not internal. Our biggest problems will come from Jefferson City, or Washington, D.C. In the city itself, even with the East and West Loop, there's a lot more peace among us. In the city itself, our problems are more of degree than of actual disagreement upon you know, propositions, shall we say.
May I add one thing that I don't think most people know? You know, there is a LUP special benefit tax district in University City, which is sometimes called LUP West. And then there's a LUP East, which is Community Improvement District. And the woman who is the executive director of East, Samantha Smugali, is now, has, there is a MOV, a memo of understanding, memo of understanding between the two groups, and this is just in the last month or two, and now Samantha is in charge of LUP West as well. So it means there will be coordination between the city and the county that hasn't happened for a decade.
And have lunch with her soon, too.
She's great.
She's a wonderful young.
Yeah.
And, and there, so, you know, internally we're having a lot of, as I say, the disagreements, don't forget you. The disagreements tend to be more in degree than in substance, you know. But as I say, our biggest problems are going to come from outside. I will say that one thing in sum that I thought about when I left the the state of the city addresses. What subject haven't I mentioned? The environment.
What?
The environment was never mentioned.
We need to adjourn if she's leaving.
Yeah.
There's four of us here now because Jan's here, so actually we still have four.
Oh, okay. So we're still good.
Yeah, you don't need to vote on anything I'm saying anyway.
But it's
a concern of mine. We had a meeting the other day where the people right here, as a matter of fact, at the old convent here, you know, they're improving and making, they wanted to put in a new parking lot, And they said, oh, by the way, they presented right to the board, I mean the board, the commission, at the meeting. And I just went ballistic on this. By the way, we don't want to bother doing a permeable surface. I was like, but you know, this shouldn't be something that we are coming up as an also. It shouldn't be something we're thinking about. You know, we're doing all this. Oh, by the way, let's think about the environment too. You know, this should be something that's central to the discussion. And not just and by the way, we don't want to bother with the, you know, putting in, as we originally planned, a permeable surface for a parking lot because it's going to be expensive. And you know, first of all, the council shouldn't be deciding this. I'm not an expert on this. You all are. You know, so is the Stormwater Commission. Why isn't this coming before the Stormwater Commission before it ever gets to me? You should have an input. Yeah. You all should have an input. You know, I mean, people, and because I'm the guy who checks off that all the experts said it's okay. I don't know anything about this. Mm-hmm. Well, anyway. Okay, I've taken up way too much time. You've been more than indulgent. I hope I've been informative.
I like to hear what's going on. I just wanted to throw a couple things out there before we do adjourn. Now that we knew and have at least an interim city manager, I would love to engage with them more. I think a lot of my frustration serving on this commission had to do with the lack of communication with our previous city manager. And I don't know if the hopes are that, you know, the interim city manager, I don't know if she's planning on becoming the permanent city manager. I don't know if she's applied for it.
I haven't seen the rest.
But, you know, I wouldn't mind, you know, engaging with her. And if that doesn't happen, certainly whoever the new city manager is, engaging with them and hopefully having a better, more productive relationship moving forward. So I think that's one of the areas where we can really hopefully have an impact, right? Like we can do research and provide resources and support better decision making. I was really disappointed, and I don't think it's any secret, but extremely disappointed with how things have turned out with the remodel of the city buildings.
Yeah.
And that we value engineered out all of the energy efficiency. You know, it's just, it's the same mistakes over and over again. We keep making decisions that impact the city and we don't take into consideration long-term operating expenses. Outside of an environmental, just,
yeah.
You know, fiscally responsible.
Yeah.
So, you know, it's hard to get excited that we finished on budget because we're going to be over budget for the rest of the operating life of these buildings. So that's not even a win in my opinion. So I'd love to connect with them. Other thing I'd just like to mention too is this is at least the third time there's a bill in front of the state Senate, HB 2384 is the name of the bill. It seeks to eliminate any municipality's ability to set an energy efficiency code beyond the IECC 2009 standard or the IRC. So one is the International Energy Conservation Code. The other is the International Residential Code, if I remember correctly. Our code here in University City is 2018, so we would actually have to move backwards if this ordinance passes. It would also take a name that, you know, the city of St. Louis is building energy performance standard. I think Kansas City is close behind on that. But this, you know, not having the ability to, you know, help buildings become more efficient is going to hit all of the residents. You know, it's going to affect anybody who moves into a building that's newly built or newly renovated from having, you know, more efficient economical equipment to operate. But in a time where we're already seeing surging demand and dwindling capacity resources because we have these super old coal plants that we're still operating and are being phased out, but we're not building generation at the same level. It's just, you know, we've all seen it on our utility bills.
And so do we want to contact our representatives?
Absolutely want to reach out to your state senator. I reached out to Brian Williams, who I think oversees University City.
He does.
His office is actually in University City on Dartmouth.
Yeah.
So I highly encourage you to reach out and let him know, hey, this is bad for everyone.
Senator and the representatives.
It's already passed the House.
Oh, okay.
It passed the House 92-61. Wasn't even close.
Yeah.
And
sometimes the Senate has more of a chance.
So, you know, while, yes, it's been defeated in the Senate before, you know, every time it gets brought back up again, they're refining it so that it's, you know, they're trying to make it tighter and tighter. And, you know,
yeah, and at least one time when it was never considered by the Senate. It was just a matter of time. You know, it wasn't actually a mechanical thing. They just ran out of time in the session.
Yeah, and actually this bill was introduced last year in 2005 and the Senate didn't vote on it. So it was reintroduced again this year, passed the House, and I think it was in February. And so it's, you know, so just reach out. It's an overreach, you know, as far as, you know, the state overreaching municipalities' abilities to choose what's right for their local residents. It's just going to drive up energy costs and create more problems for everyone. It unfairly targets, you know, LIHTC communities, low and middle income communities. And then, of course, there's all of the environmental factors. So just thought we should all be aware of that. And finally, my term is coming up soon, so I'll term out after that. So if you know of anybody, you know, now's a great time to start getting people interested. If you want to
serve two terms?
Yep.
So it kind of looked like in the in the bylaws that we should have, like, someone at first of expertise in all of those different areas.
Oh, yeah, a subcommittee thing?
Yeah, it didn't look like that had been done for a while either.
Yeah, so it would be especially good to have somebody with your area of expertise because, like, I don't know. I have no idea what you guys do. So, You know, I'm more of a ecological plant type of person.
Yeah, we seem to have a lot of those in the committee, which is great. Mm-hmm. I mean, Nicole is that. Nicole also works for Ameren. She could be a good
energy
person.
Well, she's more of an engineer. I mean, you guys are like engineers, but...
I don't have an engineering degree. I'm just a geek. And Nicole has also worked in energy efficiency. Mm-hmm. So she'd be good at energy or potential buildings as well.
Yeah.
But I'll keep my ear out, but just, you know, as a...
When's your term expire?
Early August, and I think we often skip meetings in July.
Okay.
So really, this is March, so we have April, May, June. We usually skip one in July because nobody's around. And we can't get quorum. So I pretty much have 3 meetings after this.
Okay.
Mine. On a lighter note, I brought this tonight if people wanted to take a picture. My wife and I are hosting the trivia night for UC. I've mentioned it every other meeting. On the 27th, is that what it is? Yes, it'll be Friday in here. We currently have 16 of 30 tables sold. So we're hoping to get a few more. And sort of on the flip side of that is we're trying to showcase local businesses or people for like raffle donation stuff. So if you, like, somebody just mentioned at the meeting last night, they're like, oh, my friend who's a UCity alumni, like, makes candles. And we're like, great, let's get a, you know, have her donate a basket of candles or something, and we can sell that. So if anybody knows of, like, you know, an Etsy person that's trying to get their word out of what they do, or, like, we're more than willing to take their donations and try to raise some money for some kids, but also get their, you know, get their business word out. So... buy a table, buy several tables. That would be great. And if you know of anybody that we can have a sort of mutual beneficial thing of, I make candles, I want people to buy my candles, well, we'll try and showcase that as well. So if anyone wants, I mean, I don't need to take this back home, but if anybody just wants to take a picture of it, we're here. All right.
Okay. I move with it. We adjourn. Everybody, 1 second. Second. All in favor?
Aye.
And we're adjourned.
Thank you. Right. Hey, you know, in the ways you say we're saying,
Steve, do you know,
building,
do these things work? They used to blink,
you know,
but they didn't, and now they don't blink anymore.
Value engineered out energy.
The projector.
Yeah. They used, like, I think they needed
a
new ball, but I don't
list
know if.
As far as I know. I haven't been told that they don't.
Because if we had them working, that would make the trip
a
lot
easier
to do. Oh, wait, no, it's still got the red light there.
Oh.
I've just never...
I've never seen it.
I mean, part of the problem is they didn't share much. It was really hard to get information out of Traverse.
Well,